turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 6. Praise God. This being Family Week, we're going to look at some things concerning families. Then next week we'll finish up on Father's Day. But we have different activities, as you know, throughout this week, so make sure you avail yourself of those activities and get involved. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. Paul says, "Children," verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, Moses writing here, he said, "This is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land in which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you this day, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God, Lord God of your fathers, has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you walk by the way, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look into the word this morning. Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Lord, to be able to come here today. We thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for families. And Father, we realize, Lord, that you've instituted a family, Lord, even before you instituted the government, Lord, the state or the church. And Father, your heart is in the family. So Father, as we look into the word of God today, we just ask that you would just enlighten our understanding, give us wisdom, give us understanding, and guide and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Two children were heard discussing their parents. The first said, "I'm really worried. Dad slaves away at his job so that I can have everything I need, and so I'll be able to go to college someday. Mom works hard washing and ironing and cleaning up after me, taking care of me when I'm sick, and driving me everywhere I want to go. They spend every day of their lives working for me, but I'm worried." His friend asked him, "What have you got to worry about?" Young fellow replied, "I'm afraid that they're going to wake up and escape someday," when they realize that what they're doing. Paul said here that we are to bring up our children in the ways of the Lord. And I've entitled the message today, just bringing them up. Bringing them up in the ways of the Lord. And there's a number of different things. I've got four thoughts here today that we're just going to touch on briefly. And as you know, we got another service at 2 o'clock at the cemetery, so we'll be going there, those that are going. But some different things that we can be concerned about as parents or recognize as parents to bring up our children in the way that they should go. First of all, and we go through this quite often sometimes when we have baby dedications and different things, we talk about this. But first of all, we must recognize that our child is a gift from God. Recognize that our child is a gift from God. Psalms 127, verse 3 to 5 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them." Now, we're living in a day and age when The family is not as it was probably 20, 40, 50 years ago. And we're living in a society where as parents and as families in the home, we try to instill values into our children, but we send them to school sometimes where the values are torn down, or they go out and hang around with people that got different values. And it seems like there's a hard battle sometimes. And sometimes we get frustrated with our children. And I think we've all gone through this. And I've heard people make all kinds of jokes about their children. You know, they should just long for them to get gone, get out of the house and leave me alone. I've never ever felt that way with children. To me, children are the most precious thing in the world. And as our children were growing up, I hated for the day when they came to leave home and get out on their own. I don't think anybody should be able to get married until they're at least 40 years old. But I guess that would change the reproduction system a bit, and we wouldn't have many children around. But you understand what I'm saying? There's so many people, and I've heard people say, and I know they joke about it sometimes, and we had a fellow one time in one place. He said, "Well, children," he said, "you need just wit your lips," he said, "and stick them to a wall somewhere." And, you know, everybody used to laugh at that and thought it was a wonderful thing. But I've never ever looked at children in that way. To me, children are very precious. And even to Jesus, the children are very precious. You look at Jesus. Remember one time the disciples tried to keep the children away from coming to Jesus? There was something about Jesus that just drew the children in. And, I guess it was his love and everything else. And but as the children were coming to him, the disciples tried to stop him. He says, "Don't bother him." And Jesus, listen, he said, "Allow the children to come to me." The King James says suffer. Sometimes we look at suffer as suffering, but isn't that what he's saying? He's talking about allow the children to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And you've heard me say this dozens of times, when the children are in church and things like this and walking around and running around and things like this, that doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you as a parent. And, I understand we all try to do the best we can to keep them under control and things like this. And but I'd rather have them in church noisy than at home doing something else. You understand what I'm saying? And to me, children are very precious. So we need to understand that children are a gift that God gives to us. And once we understand that they are a gift, we'll look at them with a different perspective. And so we need to understand that. Secondly, your children need to be loved unconditionally. We need to love our children, and no matter what they do in life, no matter how bad they turn out and all these different things and what the, how they've messed up their lives sometimes, they still need to know that mom and dad still loves them. The minute that we turn our back on our children, they feel they've got nowhere else to go, and they'll go out and they'll start hanging around with the people that they shouldn't be hanging around with. But it's good for them to know that they got a place to come home. No matter what they've been through, no matter what they've done, there's a place to come home where there's safety and they're going to find love. Remember the story of the prodigal son. And the Bible tells us that this man had two sons, and the youngest one grew up, and he thought, "Well, it's time for me to get away from home." So he said to his father, he said, "Father, give me my inheritance." He said, "I'm going to leave home." And his father gave it to him, and you know the story. The Bible says he left home, he went out, he got hanging around with the wrong people. He ended up ruining his life, messing things up, and finally ended up, all of his money was spent, all of his friends were gone. And mom used to always say to us when we were growing up, and we never had much money, but if you had a dollar bill in your pocket, now a dollar bill in those days, you could buy a little bit more than you could buy with a dollar bill today. But if you had a dollar in your pocket and you walk up the road or something like that, you'd have four or five friends with you because you had money. But the minute your money was gone, your friends were gone too. So they're not really friends. And, so this man, this young man, took his inheritance, went out, and the Bible says he wasted it in riotous living. In partying and everything else, and just wasted his money. And finally, the Bible says he ended up working for a man in the town where he was at. And now this man was Jewish. This young man was Jewish. Okay? To the Jews, there's nothing as detestable as swine, pigs. But he ended up living and working in a pig pen. And the Bible says that as he was there in the pig pen, looking at the animals, eating, the old stuff that was thrown at him, he thought to himself, he said, my father's servants are doing better than this, better than I'm doing. So he said, "I will arise, go back to my father." And he had it all, he had a big speech all planned out, what he's going to say to his father. "Father, I sinned against you, I sinned against God, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the Bible says the minute that he started to go home, as soon as his father saw him, he never had a chance to go through his speech, he never had a chance to do anything. His father just ran him across the yard and grabbed him and hugged him. The Bible says he fell on his neck and kissed him. And he brought him back in, and he said, "My child, which was lost," he says, "found again." And the story, he threw a big feast for him and all these different things. So we need to understand that children, when they go out, and we've all gone through this, we get to a certain age in our life that we think we have all the answers. You know, and when you get through the teenage years and you understand that, you know, you feel that you know everything. Dad, Mom knows nothing. Anybody else is older, you know, older meat or old-fashioned or antique and everything else, and they don't know anything. You know, and sometimes we carry that mentality into our 20s and 30s, thinking that way, until all of a sudden you wake up and realize that they're not so bad after all. They did know what you're talking about. You know, and but the thing is, we need to love our children, and when things don't turn out the way that we think they should turn out or hope they should turn out, we should still show our children that we love them. We love them unconditionally, because that's how God loves us. If God had to turn his back on us every time we made a mistake, none of us would stand a chance. David himself said, he said, Lord, he said, have you counted iniquity? He said, who could stand? There's not a person on this planet that could ever stand in God's presence if God had to hold our sins against us. That's why he sent his son, Jesus. The Bible says when we were still sinners, when we were enemies with God, he loved us enough to give his son for us. So we need to understand that we need to love our children unconditionally. Never let your child feel, and sometimes, you know, and I've heard people say this over the years, and if you're doing it, stop it. But I've heard people say stuff like this, you know, when you got little children, now if you do that, mommy won't love you anymore. You know, or daddy won't love you. Never say that to your children, because you don't mean it, but they'll understand it that way. You understand that? Always let them know, no matter how far off course they've gone, dad and mom will still love them. They're still dad and mom's children. You know. So we need to be sure that we stress it to our children. Never have them believe that your love is based upon their behavior. Because if God's love is based upon our behavior, none of us would even have a chance to be saved. God loved us when we were his enemies. Okay, so let's express our love to our children. Number three, and there's something we need to do as children are growing up, and we see it in young ones even when they come up here. You know, we need to recognize and work along with the natural tendency of the child. Now, what I mean by that, the Bible tells them in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, he said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he won't depart from it. Now, a lot of people have misunderstood that verse, and I have myself over the years as well, but at times we think that what he's saying, if you train the child up right, when he gets old, he'll be a perfect child. How many know that never worked out yet? A lot of you are afraid to put up your hands. That has never worked out that way. That's not what the Bible is saying. And sometimes we think, you know, well, if I'm a good parent, I'm going to have a good child. If I'm a bad parent, I'm going to have a bad child. And generally speaking, there's a lot of truth to that. But it's not in every case. Let me give you an example. I just gave you one, the prodigal son. This father had two sons, and apparently he raised both of them the same way. But when the children got up old enough, they had different personalities. One went one way, one went the other way. You know, and sometimes we kick ourselves and give ourselves hard times because our children never turned out the way that we thought they should. Well, let's go back even farther than that. God himself, he created Adam. He had one son, created Adam here on the earth. I'm talking about here on the earth. I mean, Jesus was always his son. But here on the earth, God created Adam, put him in the Garden of Eden. What did Adam do? Now, Adam never had any bad influences. He never had any bad role models. He was made perfect. But Adam sinned. So you can say God was a bad father? Just because your child turned out not the way you thought he should doesn't mean to say you're a bad mom or a bad dad. That child has got their own personality, their own desires, their own, you know, and sometimes, you know, the friends they hang around with. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. That is old King James. What it means, if you hang around with the wrong people, you're going to end up doing the wrong things. So we need to understand, and I can remember when we were growing up, Mom would say to me, my father died, as you know, when I was very young. And my mother raised myself and my brother. We're the last two in the family. And she used to always say to me, now, don't you hang around with so-and-so. They're going to get in trouble one of these days. And sure enough, they got in trouble one of them days. They ended up in all kinds of mess, you know, in jail and different things like this, and in trouble with the law and all these different things. Because, you know, As parents, sometimes you talk to a little child and you say, don't do this. They don't understand what you're talking about. You can see a lot more than they can see. And Mom could see a lot more than I could see at that age when I was a teenager. You know, but we need to understand and recognize that as a child is growing up, we need to keep them in the right direction. And that's what this verse is saying. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And look for the natural inclinations, the natural tendencies of the child, the way that a child is, how would I say this, his desires as a child. Now, I'll use this as an example. It just crossed my mind. When Sam comes over playing the guitar, you know, now, we'd be pretty foolish to say, no, don't you do that. You stop doing that. You know, because his natural tendency is to go that way. If we channel that in the right way and he keeps that same desire and, you know, tendency growing up, he could become a musician or whatever God wants him to be. But I think this is what the Bible is saying. Train up a child in the way that he should go, his tendency, whichever way, you know, is direction. And when he gets old, he will not depart from that. Remember when you're a child and you had certain foods that mom and dad would make, or something like that. Mom would make certain food that you really enjoyed as a child. Well, I can anybody guess that even now when you got older, you still remember those meals, and you still like to have some of those meals. You know, as Newfoundlanders, you've heard us talk about this lots of times, we call it the Jigs dinner. Now, you fellows might eat it and say, well, that's just food. But to us, you know, all the memories and everything else that came along with it, Jigs dinner is a big thing. You know, and we were growing up, we had it every single Sunday. That was a Sunday meal for everybody. You know, put the pot on, put it on simmer, go to church. When you came out of church, everything was cooked, and you take it out, and you know. And so that was the way we did it. But the thing is, you enjoy these things because of the things that you came up with. You understand that? And it's the very same thing with your children, bringing them up. If you train them in the right way and direct them in the right way, the things that you enjoy, they will enjoy. Now make sure you enjoy the right things. They will enjoy, and they will grow up following the direction that you direct them in. So as parents, we need to understand that we have a responsibility before God to bring up our children, to love the Lord, to do what God has called them to do, because God's got a plan and a purpose for every person's life. And we need to do our part as parents. You see, we raise up our children. And I've seen people do this over the years, and I'm not saying it's wrong to do it, but we need to do it with the right direction. I've seen people grow up, you know, and they say, well, listen, your father went to college or university or whatever, you're going to university. And the child might want to be something else. You know, I was listening to somebody was on the news or something the other day talking about Bill Gates. Dropped out of college. They didn't think it was anything he'd be interested in. I don't know if he got kicked out or he dropped out of college and everything else. No interest in certain things. But that wasn't his inclination. That wasn't his tendency to go in that direction. There was something else that he wanted to do. You know, and a lot of times we hold them back because we want them to be the way that we want them to be. And we don't allow God to lead them in a way that he wants them to go. And we're living in a day and age and you know, where it seems like everybody's got to do a certain thing and they got to grow up and once you go through a system. And I understand that. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. But let's make sure that we bathe that in prayer first and that we see the direction where God wants them to go and encourage them to be what God wants them to be. And when they get old, they will not depart from that. So let's do our part in that. The Bible talks about train up a child in the way that he should go. And the word train, now I heard Chuck Swindoll say this, the word train in a child, I don't know if I can get it the way that he said it, but As when the Hebrew midwives would give, you know, help deliver a baby, they would have a paste that was made from dates and different things, honey and different things, and they would take their finger and dip it into the paste and get a bit, and they put it on the tongue of the baby, put it on the roof of the mouth of the baby, and they start to move it around, and the baby would get a taste of that, and then all of a sudden start to cry because it was almost like a kickstart to get the taste buds working and everything else. This was the thing they would do. And The principle behind that is that you put something in the baby's mouth that's going to cause a hunger and a thirst for it. As a child is growing up, and the same word is used right here for training up a child, when a child is growing up, if you put things in front of them that would encourage them to be in the way that God wants them to be, they'll grow up loving that thing. You understand it? So give them good direction in life as they're starting out. And as we do that, God will honor that, and we'll have a better chance of bringing that child up in the way that they should go. Number four, We need to be consistent with our discipline. And I'm not talking about going beating your children to pieces and things like this and bruising them and, you know, hurting them. I'm not talking about that kind of a discipline. But there's certain things, as a child is growing up, we need to give them direction. And when they go off course, bring them back on course. You see, as a child grows up, there's circles, like circles of influence. And as they're growing up, mom and dad are the authority in that child's life. And when the child does something wrong, mom and dad, or you know, the other family members, but the family generally is the authority over that child. And as that child is growing up and it does something wrong and you say, no, don't do that, and he'll go along and do it, and you know, and you don't do that, and but you've got to keep bringing him back on course. And whether it takes a little pat on the hand or whatever the case might be, or a little time out or whichever way you do it, that child needs to know that there's authority and there's boundaries. Because if he grows up without boundaries, he's going to grow the rest of his life and think there's nothing wrong for me to do. There's nothing that I can do that's wrong. So we need to, you know, and then as a child grows a little older and gets up to 4 and 5 years old, all of a sudden that circle of authority enlarges. They go to school. They got their principal and they got their teachers and they got their, you know, counselors or whatever is there in the school system. They got all these are the sources of authority. And if we don't train them back here to respect authority, they're going to there and they're going to have all kinds of problems in school. They'll be fighting against their teachers all the time. They'll be hating this one, hating that one, because they're not understanding that realm of influence, that authority. And you know, as time goes on and the circles get bigger and bigger as we grow older, as they get older, you know, they move on to higher schools and then they go to universities or whatever the case. But then they eventually get into the workforce. Then they got a new authority over them. They got their employer. You know, and if they weren't trained back here to respect authority, when you get out there and all of a sudden the employer asks you to do something, I'm not doing that. I never had to do that kind of stuff. I never came here to work at that. And we lose the sense of authority that, you know, God has placed. You see, because all these things, we look at authority sometimes as a bad thing. But listen, the Bible talks about government and authority is from God to keep everything in a proper balance of in different things. So we need to understand that the child needs to grow right from back here, train them in the way that they should go. So when they get old, they won't depart from it. When they get older, they'll understand that there's authority. You know, and because if you don't train them back here, all of a sudden they're going to get out and they're going to do something bad, and all of a sudden the police are coming after them. And they say, well, you know, the world holds me something anyway. And they always have this chip on their shoulder that, you know, they're right and everyone else is wrong. I got a little word of wisdom for you. If everybody else is doing something one way and you think you're the only one right in the world, chances are that you're the wrong one. Okay? Chances are that you're the one that's in the wrong. Now, so we need to understand, the Bible says, the rod and rebuke will give wisdom. But a child left to himself bring shame to his mother. Proverbs 29:17 says, correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. I'll finish up with a couple things here. There's a couple little list of things, two lists. Some years ago, the city of Houston, Texas, waged an ad campaign to deter youth crime. The Houston Police Department came up with 12 rules for raising juvenile delinquent children. Okay, these are things you don't want to do. Okay, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. These are things you don't want to do. But they came up with 12 rules to raise juvenile delinquent children. Number one, begin with infancy to give the child everything he wants. In this way, he'll grow up to believe the world owes him a living. Number two, when he picks up bad words, laugh at him. This will make him think that it's cute. I've seen people do that. And I know it might sound cute to us, but boy, don't let the child know you think that way. Because you're just setting him up on the wrong track right from day one. Number three, never give him any spiritual training. Wait until he's 21 and let him decide for himself. But in the meantime, he's getting all kinds of other training, from video games and cartoons and stories and everything else. But don't ever give him any spiritual training, because wait till he gets 21, let him make his own decision. Well, he's not going to have any spiritual background to make a decision with. Now, this is written by the police force. Okay? You can take each one of these. I'm going to make a sermon out of every one of them. Number four, avoid using the word wrong. It may develop a guilt complex. This will condition him to believe later that he is, when he is arrested for stealing a car, that society is against him and he's being persecuted. Number five, pick up everything he leaves lying around. Do everything for him so that he will be experienced in throwing all responsibility on others. Number six, let him read any printed material he can get his hands on. Be careful that the silverware and the drinking glasses are sterilized, but let his mind feast on garbage. Now remember, these are the things that you shouldn't be doing, okay? Don't get this wrong. These are things that you shouldn't be doing. But the police say, if you want to raise a child who's going to be rebellious and cause problems, this is what you need to do. Number seven, quarrel frequently in the presence of your children. In this way, they won't be shocked when the home breaks up later. Number eight, give a child all the spending money he wants. Never let him work to earn his own. Number nine, satisfy his every craving for food and drink and comfort, and see that every sensual desire is gratified. Number 10, take his part against the neighbors, against the teachers, and against the policemen. They're all prejudiced against your child anyway. Number 11, when he gets into real trouble, apologize for yourself, saying, I never could do anything with him. And number 12, prepare for a life of grief. You will likely have it. I thought that was pretty good. This is Family Week, and with that, I'm just going to, a couple more things here, and I'm just going to finish off with this. This is a second list that the top 10 ways, remember David Letterman does the top 10, you know? This is the top 10 ways to turn kids off from church. Number 10, we're counting backwards this time. Number 10. Now, this is how you turn your children off from church. Number 10, schedule personal or family events to conflict with church activities and services. Number 9, don't get too close to anyone in church. Refrain from developing relationships with Christians, lest your children learn the joy and the benefits of fellowship with other believers. Number 8, look often at your watch during worship and complain bitterly when the pastor is preaching. And look back at the clock. Is this working? Look often at your watch during worship and complain bitterly. Look annoyed or freak out when the church lasts longer than you think it should. Number 7, tithe and financially support your church and its mission with the same enthusiasm that you pay taxes. Number 6, we're counting down. Do the best you can to make sure your kids arrive on time to soccer lessons and school events, but don't worry if they miss out or are too late for church. Number 5, bring your family to church only when A, you have nothing better to do, B, you have a personal need, or C, you're feeling really guilty. Number 4, don't volunteer for anything or make any kind of long-term commitment at church. Remember, you've got to keep your options open to do things that are more important. Number 3, change churches every few years. That'd help them get a good foundation, wouldn't it? Number 2, remind your kids how imperfect your church leaders are and point out their mistakes. And number 1, whatever you do, don't let church influence the way you live your life. If you do all these things, you raise up a child who's going to have no time for church. You understand it? I should have printed these off. Maybe I should have folded them and given them to everybody. But anyway, I know you fellows aren't as bad as all that. But we need to understand that we have a responsibility as parents as we go in now. This is Family Week and we're focusing in on the family. Listen, I know society, you know, And I'm not saying society is all bad. There's people that are trying to do the best they can to help families and stuff like this. But you turn on the television, and which is a major impact in our society today, you turn on the television, you turn on the video games or whatever the case, you know, and there's all kinds of murder and gore and dirt and filth and all these different things. And then you try to train your child, and the child wants nothing to do with what you want to do. They want to do nothing with the family. All they want to do is be with their little game there. And then the child grows up, and as we said, they get in trouble with the police, they're in trouble with the schools, and we say, well, you know, it's the school system. Is it police fault? Is this fault? And that, no, it's our fault. Let's put the blame where we're like. It's our fault because we haven't done what we should have done back here to train them upright in the way that they should go. Now, and I understand sometimes you can do everything back here right, and they're still going to go out on their own and do their own thing. And I don't want you to be kicking yourself today and thinking, well, man, I'm a bad parent. I've done this wrong. I've done that wrong. And maybe we all did things wrong. But, you know, it's never too late to start. And you say, well, my children are growing up and they're gone and they're away from home and I don't have anything else to do with them. And, you know, they only call it Mother's Day, Father's Day, or Christmas, or sometimes they don't call it at all. What can I do? You can still love them. You can still pray for them. You can still live according to God's word. And eventually they'll see something in Dad and Mom that they know as they get older. Because growing up in their teenage years and their first few years of marriage and everything else, they think they got all the answers. We did. We thought we had all the answers. But as they grow up, let's, as parents, do our part to point them in the right direction. And as if they're already grown, still love the Lord, love your children, let them know that Mom and Dad are here for you, and we'll do anything we can to help you out, and we're praying for you, and we're believing in God is going to change your life and help you out. Let's encourage them. I'm not here to bash families today. There's nothing more precious or important than the family. So we need to understand that. Praise God. The Bible says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'll just give you these two words. The word nurture is paideia in the Greek. It's where we get pedagogy from, and we can render it as discipline, but a lot of times it carries the bigger meaning of education, the entire training process. And the word admonition, again, these Greek words are hard to say, is nouthesia. And it comes from two Greek words. One means the mind, and the other means to place something in the mind. And it leaves the implication of training and guiding them and directing them. And as the children are growing up, if you see somebody as saying some bad things about, well, anything of authority, you know, growing up and all they hear, you know, well, you know, I hate going to church, you know, this is so long, and I don't like the singing, I don't like this, I don't, and you grow up with that, and you speak to them around your children are going to grow up with the very same thing. You know, I've told you this before, our children, when they're growing up, as far as they knew, everybody in the church were angels. Now, as parents, we knew the difference. But our children didn't know the difference. To them, everybody in the church were special. We never said one bad word about the pastor when our children growing up. Some of you never got that. But, you know, you don't criticize those that are there to try to help out and try to minister to your children and things like this. You know, you bring them to Sunday school and you say, well, you know, they're not teaching nothing in Sunday school anyway. The child, don't do this and don't do that. Listen, the parents got responsibility at home. The church got responsibility. The school's got responsibility. The entire, you know, what does it say sometimes it takes a village to raise a child? You know, and we need to understand that we all have a responsibility. And let's not try to keep pushing responsibility on someone else. Let's do our part to bring up our children in the right way. Praise God. We're going to just finish off this morning as we clue up here. And as I said, you know, you might think, well, there's nothing I can do. And as I said, you can pray for your children. You can ask God's Holy Spirit to come and give you strength and give you wisdom, give you direction. When you bring them into church, you know, help them to enjoy church. You know, we take time here, you know, for singing with them before they go out in the back there. I don't want the children to come up here and say, oh, yeah. You know, I want them to be happy. Just if they mess up their songs or they play around, let's make church happy for them. You understand that? Let's make sure that they grow up loving the house of God, loving God's people. And yes, there's problems. You know, you got problems. I got problems. We all got problems. But let's do all we can to protect our children and bring them up in a way that they would love and grow to serve God. Praise God. And as I said, welcome the Holy Spirit to come in and allow Him to give direction. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit will come, He will guide you into all truth. So let's allow the Holy Spirit and pray for your children. You should, you know, when you put them to bed at nighttime, pray for them. Pray with them. Encourage them to pray. And help them to, you know, grow up knowing that this family loves them. This family is there for them.